Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs for today, Thursday, February 11th, 2010. We are going to change the order of the bills on the agenda, and I'm going to start with opening a work session on Senate Bill 1025. And Lori, if you'll remind us, please, about Senate Bill 1025, where we are and what we've adopted to date.
I would be happy to, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1025 was before you on Tuesday, the 9th of this week, and it has to do with the Building Code Structures Board and Residential Manufactured Structures Board, adopting radon mitigation standards for new residential buildings as identified and new public buildings. You went through that. You adopted the Dash 4 amendments, which essentially were a replacement of the measure. And the specific change that they made was to return into the language the phrase new public buildings. There is no revenue impact, and we just received the fiscals. There is a minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you. And I believe that there's a question about the fiscal impact. And so if Patrick Allen is here, Patrick, if you could come up, please, and perhaps answer a question that some of the committee members have about the fiscal impact statement, that would be appreciative. Thank you. If you want to introduce yourself, and then I'll have the question.
Sure. Patrick Allen, Acting Administrator of the Building Codes Division, struggling to keep my voice.
Thank you. We wish you a speedy recovery. Senator George and Senator Girard, I believe you had a question.
I can ask the question. The question is, as is my understanding on new public buildings, if there is a concrete slab, you have to aerate the slab in order to meet the code, or to, as far as to getting rid of the radon, which I have heard is not just a minimal expense to do that. Multi-story buildings, I've heard, could be a problem as far as the construction of that and the mitigation of the radon, which a lot of public buildings are. So I'm a little bit at a loss as to why it would be a minimal expenditure impact, because public buildings on the private side, I would agree that I don't think there is a financial impact as long as you're not building a basement or a daylight basement. But the public buildings, I think there is a substantial one, and I'm just wondering how you came up with minimal impact.
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Drudd, first of all, the fiscal, from our agency standpoint, we don't build buildings, and so our fiscal would be on what the bill actually tells us to go do, which is to go establish a code, actually tells the boards to go establish a code, and we would work with them in doing that. My supposition would be that were the bill to do as you suggest and establish the specific code requirements that you just outlined, that there may be an issue about there being a fiscal. But all the bill does is direct the boards to establish a mitigation standard without sideboards on what that standard would be.
But then, okay, then, so everyone is aware that if we include this, that the public buildings might actually have a fair financial impact, and this only reflects the creation of the code.
Thank you for your comment. Do you have a further question?
I guess I want to follow up. This is the whole issue on how I'm going to vote on this bill is this fiscal impact.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're being told is the fiscal impact that we have right here, to make this clear, is only in the rule writing, but not actually on how it impacts all of our public institutions for when they do construction. This has nothing to do with what this adds to the construction costs of our public buildings.
Well, I can only speak to the portion of the fiscal that was submitted by the Department of Consumer and Business Services. We don't build buildings, and so our contribution to the fiscal is the fiscal impact of going out and doing the code work. If I were in a position to have to do a fiscal on construction, I wouldn't have a basis to do that because this bill doesn't establish any kind of a standard. The boards would establish a standard. Presumably, we would work together with a wide array of stakeholders to figure out how to do that in a minimally fiscal impacting way, but that would be the work the board would do, not what the bill does.
Follow up.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing from you is there's really no way right now for us to figure out what this bill would actually cost our public agencies in constructions until you guys finish your work on exactly what the mitigation standard will be. I mean, this is kind of where write a blank check, and is that kind of what you're telling us? Is that you're going to write standards, and then there's going to be some type of fiscal impact on all of our state agencies when they build new construction to comply with your regulations.
Madam Chair, Senator George, blank check isn't probably the word that out of thin air. Presumably, there may
Sorry,
be.
I apologize.
There may be some impact. I honestly don't know. We've discussed this issue pretty thoroughly with home builders and other stakeholders in terms of what the actual impact of mitigation would be on residential property. I really don't know the range of options that are available on public structures, which itself is an undefined term that runs a gamut from schools to libraries to parking garages and whatever else. I think it would be very difficult to try to speculate what the mitigations themselves would be and thus the cost. I know that we would try to work very hard to minimize those.
And I have a question, Mr. Allen. Is there an opportunity for this discussion to take place during the rulemaking procedure?
Mm-hmm.
Can there be input?
In fact, it's required to take place during the rulemaking procedure.
I think Senator Rosenbaum had something, and then
sure.
Senator Gerard.
No, I think he sent what I was going to say. So.
I read your mind.
The question I would have is, it is also my understanding that old buildings, when they remodel and they have to bring things up to current code. So even though this just impacts new facilities, indirectly it would impact anything that would require remodeling.
Madam Chair, Senator Drudd, the renovation and remodeling standard, the approach that we would typically take in a circumstance like that is if you're not remodeling or renovating the components that are involved in mitigation, then you wouldn't typically pick up the obligation for the mitigation. That's a common approach to these kinds of issues. So someone going in and doing a set of tenant improvements on a floor of a commercial building would not typically trigger this kind of a requirement because you're not touching the components that are typically touched in dealing with that.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1025 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rosenbaum moves Senate Bill 1025 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator George?
I really intended to come into committee today to actually vote for this bill, but this cost issue is a pretty major issue for me. I actually believe that radon is an issue we have to take on straight on. I did a radon test in my own house after our work last session, and actually got a bid to do mitigation on radon levels. So I actually am very in tune with what's going on here. I just worry sometimes about when we keep adding cost to the construction of our own buildings and what that means and if it's necessary. And so I'm going to vote no in committee and then try to do some research between now and the time it hits the floor. But at this point, I'm just not quite comfortable that we have an idea of what the long-term financial impact on the state is. So I'll be voting no.
Thank you for your comment, Senator. I'm also glad that this committee has been an educational one for you.
I appreciate it.
With your radon test. Senator Burdick.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out, too, and I think Senator George does raise a valid point. I think there are checks within the system. You know, when they go through the rulemaking process, they do have the processes for integrating costs. The legislature is always at the ready when situations come up where there might be an unreasonable cost or something that doesn't seem quite right. But also I would want to have Senator George and others keep in mind that the tremendous cost of not mitigating in terms of health costs and the economic costs that go along with health costs. Lung cancer, aside from being a tragic situation for the families it affects, is also a very expensive proposition for the whole healthcare system. So those costs need to be factored into our decision making as well. And so I will be voting for this bill and feel very good about that vote.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. To probably nobody's surprise, I'll be voting the other way. And the reason I'm kind of like Senator George in the sense that I think this is an issue we need to deal with. I don't think we need to be dealing with it in a special session, push through, and not knowing the parameters of what we're doing. Next session, I think this is something that you could get 100% of the committee to vote yes on this bill if we were able to tweak it here and there and get some answers to some of our questions long term. And it isn't so much even the mitigation, but it's just the way that we want to approach it. And this special session absolutely is not the place to do this. We're supposed to be dealing with things that are emergencies. This, to me, is not an emergency, and I'll be voting no because there's just too many unanswered questions.
Any other comments?
Madam Chair, I guess the only thing I would say is that an emergency is obviously in the eye of the beholder, and for people who have appeared in front of us session after session, including in the last regular session and just recently in our last hearing, who are showing us the impact of failing to mitigate radon on family members that have died, I think in their eyes it's more than an emergency. It's something that should have been done a long time ago, and I feel great about voting yes on this today.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Rosenbaum. And I want to thank Senator Dingfelder for following up after the last session when we did hear testimony on this and getting the interest groups together and coming up with a bill where there was cooperation with all the stakeholders, and that's why we're here today. So thanks to Senator Dingfelder for that. So no further discussion. Pam, will you please call the roll?
Member Bray?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Senate Bill 1025 moves to the floor with the due pass recommendation, and Senator Dingfelder will carry the bill. She knows about that. So close the work session on Senate Bill 1025 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1001. And I wanted to make a few comments as we began this work session on Senate Bill 1001. First is to thank everyone who's been working on this issue really since the issue came up last fall. I appreciate all of the work that's been done on that. I wanted to make a couple of clarifying remarks that I was asked to make about particularly some of the amendments and what the intent was of some of the language in the bill. I was asked to clarify whether the requirement to have express consent to a disclosure about automatic renewal and early termination fees had to be expressly consented on both of those issues. For example, a specific express consent to the automatic renewal and a specific express consent if there's an early termination fee disclosure. It is my intent under this bill to require if the consumer expressly consents to the contract that clearly and conspicuously discloses both of those, that is express consent. I will be watching this to find out if that's insufficient for the consumers who continue to be concerned about things that tend to be buried in fine print. But for purposes of this bill, it is my intent that a separate initial or signature next to each of those separate disclosures is not intended as long as the consumer consents to the contract that clearly and conspicuously discloses those two items. I also wanted to make a clarification about a comment that was made to the press the other day about how consumers might be concerned if they were, for example, on vacation and their contract was canceled because something happened through the implementation of this bill. For those of you who haven't been closely following this process, the early version of the bill would have required that at the end of the term of the contract, before it automatically renewed, that the consumer would have to affirmatively state, yes, I want to renew. That is changed by amendment, and under the version with the amendments that we're planning to adopt today, that is no longer the case. What happens at the end of the contract is that the consumer receives a notice saying, your contract is going to renew. If you don't want that to happen, please let us know. So there's no worries if somebody goes on vacation because the contract does automatically renew unless the consumer states, no, I do not want my contract to renew. That amendment was also drafted in response to concerns that were raised about companies that do business in more than one state and how no other state had that affirmative consent requirement. So that amendment takes care of that as well. One other clarification I wanted to make was someone asked me about what was originally the Dash 2 but is now the Dash 7 amendment. Does that intend to exempt month-to-month contracts? Yes, it does, as long as they clearly and conspicuously disclose automatic renewal, any automatic renewal provision or early termination fee. So that is the intent of the Dash 7 amendment, which replaces the Dash 6 amendment, which replaced the Dash 2 amendment. So I hope you followed me there. We originally had the Dash 2. That became the Dash 6. There was a one-word change, I believe, between the Dash 6 and the Dash 7. But it is the intent to clarify that those month-to-month contracts are exempt. This bill was designed to deal with contracts for a longer period than month-to-month contracts that automatically renew. All that being said, it is my intent as chair to do today is to adopt the Dash 1, Dash 3, Dash 4, Dash 5, and Dash 7 amendments. And then, because there are still a few issues to resolve on this, and today, as you know, is February 11th, it's the last day that this committee is meeting, move the bill to the Rules Committee with the consent of the chair of that committee for...
Last meeting for
the first chamber. Thank you for the clarification, Lauren.
That would have been too people. Depressing for all of us.
Right, I think many people are wondering if it's March yet. So that is my intent with this bill, and I will entertain consecutive motions on those amendments. We do them separate, I believe.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated 120. 2010.
Does anybody feel like they need a description of each of these amendments as we go forward? Lori can do that if necessary. Committee is shaking their heads. Okay. Senator Rosenbaum moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated January 20th, 2010. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the Dash 1 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 3rd of 2010.
Senator Rosenbaum moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 3rd, 2010. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? If not, the Dash 3 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 3rd of 2010.
Senator Rosenbaum moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 3rd, 2010. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the Dash 4 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 5 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 8th, 2010.
Senator Rosenbaum moves to adopt the Dash 5 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 8th, 2010. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Oh, we're on a roll. If not, the Dash 5 amendments are adopted.
And last but not least, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 7 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 9th of 2010.
Senator Rosenbaum moves to adopt the Dash 7 amendments to Senate Bill 1001, dated February 9th, 2010. Is there any discussion? Any objection? The Dash 7 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1001 as extensively amended with a due pass recommendation and request that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Rosenbaum moves Senate Bill 1001 as extensively amended with a due pass recommendation and requests that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion? Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be voting no. The best place for this bill is in the garbage can.
Madam Chair.
Senator George.
Madam Chair, I'll be voting no. Also, I don't have a problem with going to rules. It's just at this point with a due pass recommendation. I'm a little uncomfortable. I want to just basically say I appreciate the chairs keeping me involved in this the entire time. Let me know what's going on, and I feel like you've made huge strides in working with all the interest groups, and I want to applaud you for that. At this point, I don't have any problem. Wouldn't have any problem just moving it to rules, but with a due pass recommendation, I'm not sure it's in a complete format. And hopefully when it gets to rules, it gets the final polishes and we can get something on the floor that gets support. So I'll be voting no, but look forward to seeing how it comes out of rules.
Thank you. Senator George, any other comments?
Madam Chair, I just hope that nobody will be throwing paper into the garbage, but into the recycling if that's where they think it should go.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, for your comment and a bit of levity at this point. It's welcome. Thank you. So Pam, will you please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, excuse me. I'm a nay.
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
No.
Aye. The motion passes and the bill is sent as amended with a request that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. And I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 1001. I do want to let, before everyone leaves the room, I do want to let everyone know that I am planning to have an informational hearing on the free trial promotional issues later in this month. That will be February 23rd. That's an informational hearing. As you know, this bill started out with the free trial promotional issues in the bill, and they did come up pretty late in the discussion, so the Dash 1 amendments removed those, but it does continue to be an interest of concern, and so there will be an informational hearing on that particular issue on February 23rd. And I appreciate everyone's work on this, which I'm committed to continue. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3629, please, and ask... I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 3629 and ask Lori to please give us a summary of the bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3629 clarifies that a successive pledge loan renewal agreement may be 60 days or longer. It defines loan renewal to include the payment of a portion of principal, interest, and fees, provided the loan acceptance is on the same pledge on the same day. It specifies the grace period for a pledgeor begins 30 days after the mailing date of, rather than the delivery of, a redemption or renewal notice for certain pledge loans. It declares an emergency. It's effective on passage. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Thank you. We only have one person signed up here today. I was hoping that the sponsor of the bill would be here today, but apparently not. So we have Mr. Romaine, please. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I represent the Oregon Pawnbrokers Association. The sponsor of the bill, Representative Wingard, graciously introduced this for us and spoke in favor of it in the House, but I think he maybe fears the vice chair here, so I'm not sure. The bill is actually quite simple. What happens with the Oregon Pawnbrokers Association. It's getting late. We work very closely with the Department of our Division of Finance and Corporate Securities of DCBS on all the pawn regulations. We worked this out with them. There were a couple of glitches still in the law. We thought we took care of most of them in the last session. This basically clarifies that a pledge loan renewal may be made for 60 days or longer. It clarifies the definition of exactly what a renewal is, and it clarifies the calculation of notice period date, changes it to mailing date from delivery date, because frankly you have no idea when it's actually delivered. You do know when it's mailed, and it's consistent with every other notice provision in the statute. So with that, it passed unanimously out of the House. I realize that's irrelevant in this chamber. However, just wanted to put it in good word for it. We urge its passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Romaine. Any questions? No? No questions? All right. We do have written testimony from DCBS, from David Tetman, who apparently is sick today. Senator George, are you willing to do this?
Want a motion right now? Madam Chair, I move.
Well, no, I have to close the anyone else here to testify on the pawnbroker bill? No? I close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3629.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3629 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves House Bill 3629 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Family, please call the roll.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Garage?
Aye.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
House Bill 3629 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and Senator George will be our carrier.
Oh.
Of
close the work session on House Bill 3629. And that concludes our business for today.
Should have given it to the committee.
Good job. Yeah.